children were really great to think that we live our lives before the Lord somewhat like they were singing. There was a lot of heart thrown into that. And a couple of them, I think they must have been watching their parents sing, because when they were singing, they were going, they were really getting into it. I thought that was really tremendous. Thank you all. A group of people in a Bible study were asked to describe the Holy Spirit's work in their lives in one word. And that's always a challenging thing, to put what God puts in many words to one word. But each person came up with one word. It had to be different than anybody else's word. And this is the description that they had. And you can think of your own life. God working in your life. The words relentless. That's the Lord. Passionate. Inviting. Think of how many times God says, come. Fire. Really purifying and life-changing. Life was another word, as opposed to death. Power. Presence. Just what God can do beside you and through you. Forgiving. How God makes us clean before Him. Holy. He shares His character with us. And then the word love. A powerful word that's underestimated in today's world. Maybe stolen by taking something precious and sacred and using it in a flippant manner. But that's part of the great work of God in our lives. And if the Apostle John were to pick one word, John picked one word that would describe God's work of salvation in a heart. He would pick the word love. In fact, when he described his life in the Bible, in his gospel, he wrote about a disciple, referring to himself, he said, who was loved by Jesus. And that wouldn't be a bad thing to say about yourself. If you pick one word or a phrase to describe, you know, what's your life all about? How do you feel inside? What's your mentality and attitude about where God sent you? You might say, well, when it comes right down to it, I'm a person loved by God. That would be pretty life-changing and powerful. It would make an impact in terms of how you lived. And John, when he wrote his letter, 1 John, he was concerned about God's love being shown through people to others. Interesting, he was fighting against error in teaching and heresy. And one of the ways he approached it was, hey, know the truth and don't forget to show God's love. Okay, so sometimes when you find yourself going in error, think, now, am I straying from loving God? Am I straying from loving others? That's the biggest error we have. Most of us haven't sat around and said, well, I think I'll worship Buddha this week. Or I don't think truth is, you know, true for everybody. I'm not sure the Bible is true. You might have your doubts about that God can solve. But most of us, when we went into error because we didn't love God and we didn't love people. That's where we fell down more than anything. And so God's furious love comes in and pursues us and would like to set us aright in terms of how we walk with the Lord. And 1 John uses the word love 43 times in his 6-page letter. And so God's word says this. It says, dear friends, love one another, for love comes from God. So we know where we have to go to get it. From God. God is love. We didn't love God, but He first loved us. So He'll teach us how we don't know what to do. This is love. God sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There's forgiveness for everybody here and the whole world. God sent His Son for that. If we love one another, God's love is made complete in us. It's almost like a circuit from God to Jesus to us, and for it to be completed, passed on to others. How's God's love made complete? I have to pass it on. If I just keep it to me, well, that's selfish or an immature type of love. And so whatever happens to us, love is to happen through us. Love. And you put poison in the bottle, poison comes out. You notice that my worst times of following the Lord sometimes are in the car. You know, I join the pagan gang, you know. You just say, hey, it's cut to the front, dog eat dog, poison in the bottle, poison out. Health in the bottle, health comes out. God and His love in the heart, God and His love comes out. And so I think the major way God would work through us would be to love Him in trust and obedience, and then loving other people. I mean, He'd call us to that and really change our lives through that. Lloyd Ogilvie was a U.S. Senate chaplain. He said this. He said, to love God is to let God love you, like He did so with the cross. So if I'm sitting there thinking, how can I love God? I have to let God get to my heart from what He did to me, for me, through Calvary. Let God love you. And that would be a way of beginning to love God back. And God's very aggressive with His love toward you. Rich Mullins, who wrote the song Awesome God, he wrote a song a little bit earlier called The Love of God. And the phrase in it said this: the reckless, raging fury that they call the love of God. That's quite a description. I don't know if you had anybody approach you this week with reckless, raging fury of a love. You'd say, no, give me some of that, you know. Well, the Lord did, you know, with His Spirit, who's persistent, faithful, and compassionate, reaching out to you. Solomon in the Old Testament tried to depict the love of God in one of his books called the Song of Songs. And that was his way of saying, the best of songs, the best song I could write. And it was really about the love between him and his wife. And then it's also applied between the love of God and His people. Song of Songs, the best song ever. God's love to you. And how you receive that and share it back to Him. And in one phrase in chapter 7, Solomon writes as if God's people were talking, and he says, I am my beloved's, and His desire is for me. You think, put your name in the verse there. I belong to God, I am my beloved's, and His desire is for me. That God really desires you this morning. You know, just some kind of fierce moving to you in a committed, passionate way. Jesus told many stories about the love of God for the sinner, for you and I. And His most famous one was probably the prodigal sons. As the faithful father reached out to two types of different people. And just to look at the way Jesus described the love of God in this one character in the story, the father, just to bring it to our memory. While the one who was far away was still a long way off. That's anybody long way off. You know, I'm not close to God today, or whatever you would say. While you're still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and ran for his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, that's a pretty furious love. You know, when was the last time somebody ran toward you, threw their arms around you, and kissed you, and said, come and bring a robe and a ring, and how God would change us. If you ask Jesus just about that story and say, you told him, Jesus, can you give us a few words to sum up the love of God in that story? You know what words he would use? He would say, looking. He saw the son far, far away. One Sunday school teacher said, you know, you stand up and do you ever look real far away to try to see what's going on? Shade your eyes from the sun so you can, oh yeah, I see. You know, I see who I need to see. I'm looking for that one who's coming home. There might be dust in the distance. Is it the one? No, it's not the one. I got to wait for the one I'm longing for. God longs for you. He's looking. And then he's running. Okay, we have a thing in church. We try to tell the little ones when you're moving around, try not to run in the church building because you're going to knock somebody over. Okay, but one runs in church all the time. You know who that is? That's the Lord. He runs to you. You know, anybody who's open to Him, and you're like that one, well, I'm turning to God as best I know how. God says, here I come, running to you. And then hugging. God hugs, Jesus said. There's different kinds of hugs. There's polite hugs. Hug Bob and Christina, parents of Lucy dedicated. You could hug somebody reluctantly. I get real stiff if I hug reluctantly. That's my hug. My telephone pull hug, I call it. And then there's the welcoming hug. Oh, you just love the one. You see it on the news when somebody, a soldier comes home from overseas. Oh, back safe. And a welcoming hug that God would give. So what's the Lord's love toward you like? Seeing and running and hugging and welcoming. Have you met God like that? Is that who God is to you? You know, that's who, really who He is. And He'd come towards you and change your life. And can you imagine the response of people around you when the most outwardly rebellious son came home in the story of the prodigal son, story of God's love? Can you imagine what his friends' response was when they saw what was happening or heard about it? He said, 12 hours ago, this guy was half dead. He was in the pigsty. He had nothing going for him. And he might ask him, how did you get the big celebration? You know, what did you do? And he might say, I didn't do anything. I came, I turned and I came and I said, my life is a mess and I can't fix it. And that's when we know the great love of God. When we say, oh, there's things in my life that are a mess and I can't fix it. And the Lord moves in to bring help, and to bring His care for us. That was Charles Colson's testimony. He said, I went to my car and I said, Lord, my life's a mess. Please save me. And God did. And God can do that for your heart right where you are. There's a song that says, oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the love that bought me. Oh, the grace that drew me toward His fold. Could you see God doing that for you this morning? And God is faithful. He'll take that love that He's shown to you and show it to others. And that's what the world cries out for. That's what people in error cry out for, just like in John's first letter. You know, they believed the wrong thing. They minimized love. They made light of it. You're, you know, it's all kind of unhealthy immorality. And John said, well, here's the truth, and here's love from God. Two lives that were changed by the love of the Lord, pretty famous people, and then we'll apply it to our lives, was Tozier and Teresa. Stick with the T's for the examples. A.W. Tozier was a great scholar, loved the Lord, wonderful preacher. He wrote 35 books, so he was a guy who did a lot of thinking and quite educated more by experience than formal education experiences. He said this about the change that the love of God made in his life. He said, I met God's people who have a holy brightness on them. I don't hesitate to confess that my fellowship with them has meant more to me than all the teaching I ever received. I'm deeply indebted to every Bible teacher I ever had, but the Christians I have known who had the quality of God's presence and person, they truly instructed my heart. Now, Tozier's not saying, you know, don't worry about learning things, that doesn't count. He's saying, yes, know the truth, but the truth will be passed on most effectively and graciously when you have love for the people that you're reaching out to in some way. Many of you have loved ones who don't know the Lord. You wish, boy, someday I wish they would be in worship with me and be following Jesus, or people at work or whatever. Well, how can I pass on the gospel? You do it most effectively when you love them. They'll know the love of God when you and I show them the love of God. And that has been received into your heart. So the biggest impact is when you love others with the truth of God. And then there was Teresa, who worked in missions in the country of India. She looked at the people and she said, who needs the love of God the most? And she picked out the ones most hurting. That'll send you on a mission if you're interested in that. She reached out to lepers. She reached out to those with AIDS. And she reached out to street children, those who were orphans. And her motto was, if there's a God in heaven, no one should face sin and death alone. That's quite a motto. You think of all the sin and death in the world today. There's a God in heaven. No one should face sin and death alone. Come with a message of a living Savior. And so her life was changed by serving others. She was known as Mother Teresa. And to the Lord himself, you're just as loved as Tozier and Mother Teresa. That's God's love for you, 100% right now. And if you have people you're concerned about and say, oh, Lord, please love them through me, he'll do that. If it's your own soul that needs met by the love of God, you could say, oh, Lord, I'm the one who needs the love of God. Love from God, it'll be focused in Jesus and his life given for you. A word spoken, a listening heart, how you can love others. An action in the name of Christ. Your time given. Say time is precious because it's ticking away. But God has given you an eternity to enjoy him. So serve him wisely now. And God will turn you and I into something after himself. We'll become the looking, running, hugging, welcoming people of God. Because that's how Jesus has treated us. And when we see people who need the Lord, we'll say, you know, if their hearts are open, here's the ring, here's the robe, come and we'll celebrate. And we will give thanks to the Lord. Make others in your life part of your song of songs. Because really, the people around you are God's beloved. And his desire is for them. His desire is for them. So, Mike, we go with the love and heart of Christ as his word tells us to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the great love of Jesus. It's so high and wide and long and deep to reach any one of us here. And any part of our life, Lord, that we've withheld from you, it's probably broken. It's probably in error. It's off the track. It's in sin. And so your love can restore us. The shed blood of Christ can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we learn to pass it on to others. We do so imperfectly, but we do want to do so thankfully and gratefully and with purpose. So, Lord, give us a sense that you would love people through us this week. In this very room, loving other people. In our homes, in where you send us to serve throughout the week. Just hear us in our silent prayers, Father, as we make commitments to you and ask for the grace to pass on your love.